It's interesting how giddy we can be about Christmas, how syrupy we make out the story to be, because it's really a tragic tale. The Christmas tale of the scriptures is really a tragedy. A first-time mother and father, not yet married, trying to bring their baby into the world. Forced by an occupying army to leave their home, no doubt they're barely getting by in poverty. And when the baby arrives, they're homeless. And we've made it into a saccharine lullaby. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. But it's not a sweet story. It's a travesty of the human experience. The song should not be a lullaby so much as a lament. What about the baby? We should moan. Maybe we should mute the trumpets and muffle the timpani and fill the organ pipes with ash and wail a song of sadness. A baby, like so many babies, born into poverty and homelessness and oppression. It is an ancient tale, and it is a current tale. 1 billion children in the world right now. 1 billion children in December of 2017 around the world live in hunger and poverty. And I'm not sure that we here in Bethesda, Maryland can quite fathom that. I'm not sure that the statistic of 1 billion hungry children makes sense in Northwest Washington, D.C. I just don't think we can wrap our heads around what those parents must feel about their children. Now, as a parent, I worry about my kids. I worry about them getting their science homework done. I get anxious if they don't respond to my text in 7.2 seconds. And I feel bad if I don't pack the right flavor of organic fruit snack from Whole Foods for their lunch. But I don't have to worry about them starving to death. We live in the blind gentility of privilege. We are fortunate. The truth is that some of you in 20016 and 20816, and some of you sitting on these pews today, have known poverty and hunger and wandering as a family. But for whatever reason, we middle and upper middle class Washingtonians, we don't do a very good job talking about that. We live with anxiety and embarrassment. But we should talk about that. We should be more honest and more vulnerable and more compassionate and more generous. As I think about the world, as I think about the news, the Rohingya people, thousands of children, the news tells us, thousands of children shot and killed. Or those pictures of those beautiful Syrian tiny bodies that washed up on the shores of the Mediterranean over the past several months that we have forgotten already. As I think about those children, I am aware of my own shortcomings as a human, as a Christian, as a citizen of the world. 3 weeks ago, a young woman, a 15-year-old girl, actually, a sophomore at Walt Whitman High School, jumped off the bridge of the Capitol Crescent Trail into the traffic of Massachusetts Avenue and committed suicide. A quarter of a mile from where we sit in such comfort in this very moment, we could see the lights of the ambulances and the emergency vehicles from our driveway. My children, as are many of yours, are students at Whitman. They did not know her intimately or personally. This young woman's family moved from Austin to Bethesda, as did ours. My friend and colleague Nancy Ladd at River Road Unitarian Universalist Church officiated at the funeral. This story, this tragedy, this suicide hits close to home. And like joy, it lives deep down in my stomach. Such grief. I didn't know the girl. I don't know her parents. I don't know what issues there were beyond what I read in the obituary. I don't know much about the situation. But I do know that no child should ever feel forced to make such a choice. And I do know that no parent should feel the grief her parents must feel this holiday season. I also know that some of you have lost children or loved ones to suicide and other tragedies. Again, we do not do a very good job of talking about that. We should be more honest and more vulnerable and more compassionate and more generous to ourselves and to the spirits of others. Death and grief and loss and pain, those things are as old as the human story, as old as Eve and Adam. We read a portion of that story this moment about their sons, Cain and Abel, and you may know how the story unfolds, that Cain goes on to kill his brother. But from the very creative moment in our faith tradition, we are dealing with the death of a child. Part of the Christmas story that we do not talk about is the story of the slaughter of the innocents. We don't sing carols about that part of the tale. King Herod learns that Jesus has been born, and the rumors swirling around are that Jesus is to become a king, and so King Herod, whose throne cannot be contested, has all of the baby boys 2 years of age and younger killed, the story says. The slaughter of the innocents, about which we do not sing. We humans are strange creatures, aren't we? That we would treat each other like that? That we treat each other's children like that? I have been accused of being a gloomy preacher. My children think the Grinch was modeled after their father. A gloomy preacher, fair enough, perhaps. I prefer to think of myself as an honest preacher. We live in this beautiful, wonderful, marvelous world. And it is flawed and tragic and filled with grief. But here is what I know. About 2,000 years ago, give or take a week, some people met a man, and he changed their lives. These people, like us, lived with grief and poverty and worry. And this man, like us, lived with grief and poverty and worry. But he said to them, as wise, spiritually attuned people do from time to time, the world does not have to be this way. And some people, not all of the people, but some people listened to this man. And they followed him from town to town. And they saw that he offered an alternative way to live. He cared for the sick when they were ignored. He embraced and blessed the grieving when hope was hard to find. He welcomed children who were overlooked and abused. He included those who were left out, and he stood up to bullies. He simply bubbled over with love. This man was named Jesus. He was from an out-of-the-way town nobody much had heard of. But these people listened, and they followed, and they tried to live their lives as he lived his life. Because they saw that his life, like a few others along the way, Gandhi, Buddha, Mother Teresa, they saw that his life was so full of grace and kindness and compassion and generosity, it was as if the light of God had given birth to him. He had known hardship. They said he was born in a barn or a cave, so poor there was no crib for a bed. Even so, to use the language of our modern day politics, even so, he persisted. Persisted in blessing the poor and forgiving even his enemies and calling out the rich and finding God in the unlikeliest of places. He had known pain, betrayal, beatings, oppression by the powers of his day, even so he resisted. Resisted not with the violence to which we are prone, not with the desire to be right, but resisted oppression with sacrificial, creative nonviolence that turned power and the world itself upside down. And even when this man, this Jesus, had gone from these people, and they thought his life was over, even so they told his story and followed in his ways and sang his songs and were so bold as to say that he lived beyond death itself. This Jesus, this man they had met, brought joy to their lives and to the world. So maybe our job is to unmute the trumpets, to beat the drums with abandon, to blow out the pipes of the organ, and to sing with full-throated joy that Christ, that love itself, is born in the world, that tragedy does not define us, that grief does not have the final word, that hope and peace and joy are alive and all around us and within us and inspiring us. That is the good news of Christmas. Thanks be to God. Amen.